Rebbe, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Ayin Tes. We left off on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We have a lot to do today, actually. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines up from the bottom on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We welcome back Rabbi Sonnenschein. And we dedicate our shir le'iloi nishmas, his mother, Chernachaya, but Chernatova Bas Rachel, father, Bas Shimon Gershon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Amar Rav Chana Bar Ado, Nesinim David Gozer Aleihem. When it came to the Nesinim, David HaMelech was the one who was Gozer, who decreed that they may not marry into the General Assembly of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, Vayikra HaMelech LaGivonim, the king called out to the Givonim, Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, VaGivonim Lo B'Bnei Yisraelim, the Givonim were not part of B'Nei Yisrael. My time of Gozer Aleihem, why did David HaMelech decree that the Givonim could not marry into Klal Yisrael? V'chsev, because it's written, Vahirav Bimei David Shalosh Shanim. There was a famine during the days of David HaMelech for 3 years. Shana achar shana, year after year. So the Gemara discusses now how David HaMelech dealt with that famine. Shana Rishona, on the first year, Amar Lahem, he said to the people, Shema Ovdei Ovda Avodas Kochav Mishbachem. Perhaps there are people among you who are worshiping idolatry. Meaning I will say, obviously if there is this ongoing famine, that's indicative of the fact that there must be something going on with Klal Yisrael. So the first year, David HaMelech says, perhaps there's idolatry. Dichsiv, va'avadetem Elohim acherim, v'ishtachavisem lohem, va'atzaras ha'shamayim lo yematar. Because the Torah itself says, indicates that lemaisa, if someone goes ahead, if there's idolatry, that's a reason for a withholding of the rain. Dichsiv, so they looked, but there was no issue of idolatry within the people. What happened? Shnia. So the famine persisted into the second year. Shnia Amar Lahem, he said to them, Shema Ovrei Averi Yishbachem. Perhaps there are those who are engaged in immorality. Dichsiv, Vaimanu Revivim Umalkosh, Lohaya. So they looked around to see, is there an issue of immorality within our ranks? And they searched, and they weren't able to find any issue with immorality. Shlishis, Amar Lahem, Shema, Poskei Tzedakei B'Rabbi Mi'ishbachem, Ve'in Nosen. So third year, he said, maybe there are those who pledge tzedakah in public, but do not actually deliver. Dichsiv, Nisim V'ruach V'geshem Ayin, Ish Mishalel B'Masas Sheker. But Guvalamatsu. So again, they looked around, but they were unable to go ahead and find this particular sin within their midst. So Rabbi say, now 3 years into the famine, David HaMelech has tried to understand why this is happening. It's not idolatry, it's not immorality, it's not a lack of charitable kindness. So the shayla is, what is the issue? What is causing the famine? So Amar Ein HaDavar Tali Elabis. David HaMelech says it must be that there's something that I am responsible for. It must be some type of issue which I must rectify. Miyad Vaivakish David es Pnei Hashem. Immediately afterwards, David HaMelech sought out the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahi, what does it mean he sought out the face of God? He asked the Urim V'Tumim. Remember again, the Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol wore the Choshen. The Choshen was the breastplate that had the 12 stones. Beneath, behind the breastplate, there was the stones were mounted on a metal backdrop that was mounted again on a piece of fabric. In the fold of the fabric was a piece of parchment with the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was like the battery for the Choshen. So that's called the Urim V'Tumim. So David HaMelech asked the Urim V'Tumim, what's going on over here? Mr. Gemara says, Shut my mashma. How do I know that Es Pnei Hashem means the Urim V'Tumim? I'm Rabbi Lazar, Asya Pnei Pnei. We have Gzirsha Pnei Pnei. Ksiv Hacha says over here, Vayivakesh David Es Pnei Hashem. It says over here that David sought out the face of God. Uksiv Hasam V'Sha'alo B'Mishpat HaUrim Lifnei Hashem. So it says he will seek out the Urim V'Tumim, and again he used Lashon of Lifnei Hashem. So what happened? Vayomer Hashem. So David HaMelech asked God, why is this famine happening? Vayomer Hashem, God says, El Sha'ul Ve'El Beis Hadamim Asher al Asher Himis HaGivonim. So God said to David, it's because of Shaul and because of the Givonim that David HaMelech killed the Givonim. Excuse me, that Shaul killed the Givonim. So what does that mean, El Shaul? What does it mean that it's because of Shaul? Shalom Nispad Ka'alacho. that Shaul was not eulogized appropriately. I must remember again, Shaul dies in the midst of battle with the Plishtim and is very hastily buried. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to David, Shaul was never given a proper hesped, proper eulogy, and therefore Klal Yisrael is being held accountable for that. Furthermore, he says, Ve'al Beis Hadamim, Al Asher Hemis HaGivonim. So ultimately, again, and furthermore, the other iniquity, the other sin of the Jewish people, is that Shaul killed out the Givonim. But where do we ever see in the Navi that Shaul killed the Givonim? We don't find any record of that. But I will say, you know what Shaul did do? Shaul killed out the city of Nov, which was a city of Kohanim, because he thought that they were collaborators with David HaMelech. Nov was responsible for sustaining and supporting the local Givonim. By killing out Nov, he effectively went ahead and removed the support from the Givonim, which was tantamount to killing the Givonim. So the Gemara says, Katava al Shaul, Shonispak alacha, Vikatava al Asher Hemis HaGivonim. So what's the Gemara says, very strange. So in the same moment, Klal Yisrael is being held accountable because A, they didn't give enough kavod to Shaul, they didn't eulogize him appropriately. And also because Shaul killed out the Givonim. So whereas it's almost strange. On one hand, again, we're being held liable because we didn't give enough cover to Shaul, and we're also being held because Shaul sinned. So the Gemara says, that's the way it happens. The Amar Reish Lakish, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Bikshu as Hashem. Bikshu is quoting over here the pasuk from Tzefanya. Bakshu al Hashem. Call an bakshu es Hashem call an ve'aretz Asher mishpato pa'alo. So we'll say the way the Gemara is understanding this pasuk is seek out Hashem, all the humble of the land, Asher mishpato pa'alo. Ba'asher mishpato, in a moment when a person is judged, sham pa'alo. There we make reference of his deeds as well. So the idea over here is Shaul is being judged because he killed out Nov, and therefore, by extension, killed out the Givonim. So that's where we also remember his deeds, and therefore, Klal Yisrael is being held accountable for what? For not eulogizing him appropriately. It's that he killed the Kohanim. Correct. Meaning, the fact that he killed the Kohanim, that was already Shaul himself was punished for that. But the fact that he killed out the Givonim, that was never reckoned. Amar David. So David said, listen, Shaul nafkaluhu, Tracer Yarchishas Tapa Vayintes. Shaul already passed away more than 12 months ago. Now, both sides, remember, Shaul had actually passed away more than 30 years ago. Remember, because this actually is happening towards the end of David HaMelech's life. So Shaul passed away long, long ago. However, Velodarki Lemispade, it is not the Derech. We don't really go ahead and give Hespedim after 12 months. So therefore, David HaMelech says, listen, the fact that Shaul was not eulogized appropriately, the only thing I could say about that is, I'm sorry. The only thing I could say about that is I'm sorry I messed up with the covet of the king, but there's not really anything for me to do to rectify that particular situation. Nisinim, Nikrinu Vinifai Sinhu, but the Nisinim, let me reach out to them and let me see if somehow I could appease them, try to make amends. Vaikra Hamelech la Givonim. So the king called out, remember, we'll say Givonim, Nisinim are the same people. So the king called out to the Givonim, Vayomar Alehem, Ma Eselochem, Ubama Achaper. So David HaMelech says to the Givonim, says to the Nesinim, look, what could I do to make things better? We wronged you. We wronged you. Our people wronged your people. What can I do to go ahead and make things better? So the Givonim said to Shaul, to David, we have no monetary claim. We don't want gold. We don't want silver from the house of Shaul. So, but here's what we want. Hand over seven of Shaul's descendants, and we want to execute them. Hand over seven. We don't want gold. We don't want silver. We want revenge. Right? Hand over seven of his relatives, and we'll call it even. We're going to hang them. We'll call it even. Miyafes v'lo paisinu. David HaMelech tried to appease the Gimonim and tried to say, come on, don't do this. Don't do this. You know, we'll give you gold, we'll give you, so we'll give whatever you want. But to ask this type of ransom, to ask this type of request of giving over seven people to have them executed for the sins of their father, don't do it. However, again, Amar, so v'lo mefaisinu. But I will say, but David HaMelech was unable to convince the Gimonim. They were insistent on the fact that David should hand over seven of the descendants of Shaul. They would execute them, and they would be, essentially, they would settle the debt to the Givonim. Amar, so David HaMelech said at that, before we see the end of the story, I will say, this is really an incredible idea. David HaMelech said, Shlosha Simanim Yesh Bu'umazu. There are three qualities of Klal Yisrael. Three qualities that are unique to our people. We are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasodim. We are compassionate, we are bashful, and we are kind, charitable people. Rachmanim, how do we know that Klal Yisrael are Rachmanim? Dichsiv, V'nasan Lecha Rachamim, V'richamcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you compassion, and you in turn will be compassionate on others. Baishanin, we're bashful, Dichsiv, Ba'avor Tia Yiraso Alpneichem. In order that his yira, his fear shall be on your face, Gomei Chasodim, we are kind, charitable people. D'chsiv, Leman Asher Yitzave Es Bonav Ve'es Beso. It is by Avram Avinu. In order that Avram Avinu will instruct his family according to the way of Chesed. Kol Sheyesh Bo Shlosha Simanim Halalu Ro'i Li Davik Bu'umazu. So we'll say, this is an incredible, incredible yisod. Just if you want to see what makes a Jew a Jew. You notice how it's interesting, by the way, that there's no mention here of Talmud Torah, right? There's no mention here. The three major qualities, because in order to learn Torah, to really learn Torah, you have to have these qualities. These three qualities are the prerequisite for being a Jew. You have to have rachmanis. You have to be kind to people. By shanim, you have to be bashful. I mean, you understand what it means. By shanim, a person has to have a certain amount of tznius and gomli chasodim, and to mamish be a bal chesed. These are the three things that make a Jew. So David HaMelech says, furthermore, again, the criteria for ultimately joining Klal Yisrael is you must have these three characteristics. Kol sheyesh bo shlosha simanim halalu ro'i li'davik bu'umazu. I will say the converse is also true. Whoever does not have these qualities cannot be a part of Klal Yisrael. Now, what prompted David HaMelech to say this right now? The fact that the Nesinim, the Givonim, that the only way to appease them was to hand over members of Shaul's family to be executed. David HaMelech says, there's something really wrong with these guys. There's something significantly wrong with them. But nevertheless, Vayikach HaMelech Eshnei B'nei Ritzpa Bas Ayah Ashar Yalda L'Shaul Es Armoni Ve'es Mipi Boshes Ves Chameshes B'nei Michal Bas Shaul Asher Yolda LaAdriel Ben Barzilai HaMechulasi. So David HaMelech takes seven members of Shaul's household, the two sons of Ritzpa, Mipi Boshes, and Armoni, as well as the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, and he hands them over to the Givonim. Maishnohani. So we'll say, so first of all, where did David HaMelech, how did he know these seven? First of all, say, what we're going to see is, how did David HaMelech know to do this altogether? Meaning, just because the Givonim requested this does not necessarily mean that it's what he's, remember, all David HaMelech knows is that there's a debt that has to be settled with the Givonim. That's why there's famine now. There's debt that has to be settled with the Givonim. The Givonim are demanding descendants of Shaul. How does David HaMelech know that he's supposed to comply with this? So Amar Rav Huna, Hevirum Lifnei Aron. He went ahead and he brought all of the descendants of Shaul before the Aron. Kol Sha'aron Kolto Lemisa. Kol She'im Aron Kolto Lechaim. Anyone who passed before the Aron and was restrained by the Aron, David HaMelech realized he was supposed to be handed over by the Givonim. Whoever was not restrained was not handed over. Or in other words, we both say, David HaMelech asked the Urim V'Tumim. He brought these people before the Aron, and clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated that he wanted these individuals handed over to the Givonim. We both say, remember, this is part of the punishment for Shaul. This is part of the punishment for Shaul, and then we'll discuss why his descendants are held accountable for his own deeds. But that's what's happening over here. Massive Rav Chana Bar Katina. So Rav Chana Bar Katina says, but 1 second, the pasuk says, "Vayachma l'melech al mipiboshes ben Yonasan ben Shaul shelo heviru." But yet David HaMelech had compassion on mipiboshes, who was the son of Yonasan, the son of Shaul. So remember, So Yonasan was David HaMelech's closest friend. So David HaMelech has compassion on the son of his now deceased friend. So the Gemara said, "V'chi maso panim yesh badavar." I don't understand. Is there favoritism? How could David HaMelech do that? Meaning, again, either the descendants of Shaul are culpable or they're not culpable. What right does David HaMelech have to exhibit compassion on the son of his friend? To which the Gemara says, "Ella sheheviru v'kolt." Or rather, what happened is Mephibosheth was passed before the Aron. The Aron restrained him. Ubikesh alav rachamim upalto. And David HaMelech davened for Mephibosheth, and the Aron literally released him. Released him. Vakati mishut mashe panim yesh padavar. But still, is there not a matter of favoritism here? Meaning the fact that David HaMelech davened for Mephibosheth and not for anyone else. Ella shebikesh rachamim shelo yiklatenu ha'aron. But rather, what happened? David HaMelech davened proactively that the Aron not restrain Mephibosheth. Meaning he davened for Mephibosheth, that Mephibosheth not be included as one of the offerings to the Givonim. I v'hoksi, but there's a more fundamental question. Lo yumsu avos albonim ubonim alavosam. We have another concept, which is what? That children should not be made to suffer for the sins of the father. And here you have seven of Shaul's descendants being handed over to the Givonim for Shaul's own mistake. Mutav, so listen to this. Mutav shete'akir os achas minatora va'ayis chaloshim shem v'farhesya. It is better that one letter from the Torah be uprooted, but the name of God not be desecrated in public. And I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Va'al yischalel shem shamayim, sh'yihyu ha'umos omrim, ein umazuru uyin ledabek ba, sh'ray pashto yideim begerim litom zonoseyem, v'lo asavim nekamah. Rabbi saying, when Shaul mistreated the Givonim, there was such a huge chilul Hashem. Why? Because remember again, the Givonim are Gerim. Now granted, we will see that although they're converts, David HaMelech decreed that they not marry into the general populace of Klal Yisrael. When Shaul mistreats the Givonim, there was such a chilul Hashem about the way Klal Yisrael treats converts that there had to be a dramatic statement that what was done to the Givonim was unequivocally wrong. Therefore what? Therefore the Maisi, the Gemara says like this, although yes, under normal circumstances, sons are not held accountable for what their fathers did, but here it's different. Here there was such a terrible chilul Hashem that it had to be made right, and better to make it right by uprooting, so to speak, something that the Torah says, i.e. that sons are not held accountable by fathers, in order to go ahead and set the record straight that we have incredible compassion upon everyone. What Shaul did was an aberration, and ultimately, again, the perpetrators are dealt with. Even though, again, the perpetrators are not the perpetrators. The perpetrators are the descendants of those who perpetrated the crimes. So the Gemara says, "Vatikach ritzba bas ayo es hasak vatateu lo el atzur mitchilas ketzir ad nasach hamayim aleim min hashamayim v'lo nasna of Hashem lanuach aleim yomam yomam v'chayes hasad elayo." So both say the Navi records that ritzba bas ayo, the mother of two of the people executed, every day made sure that the bodies were protected from the elements, as well as protected from birds of prey and from animals at night. I v'hoksiv, but yet the pasuk says, "Lo sullen livnaso alaitz." But Rabbi say again, now the assumption over here is who is hanging the bodies? It's Klal Yisrael who's hanging the bodies. So why ultimately, again, or even if it's the Givonim, it's Klal Yisrael who's allowing it. So why, but the Torah says you can't allow a body to be hanged overnight. Again, mutav shete akir os achas min haTorah v'yiskadesh shen shamei farhesya. It is better for a concept of the Torah to be uprooted and for the name of God to be sanctified. Meaning what? Shayu ovrim v'shavim orim. Because people who would pass by and see these bodies hanging would say, "Ma tivan shalelu? Who are these people? Halolu b'nei melachim heim. These are the sons of kings. Uma asu? What did they do so wrong? Pashto yideihem begerim gerurim." They went ahead and literally they stretched their hand out. From Rabbi say, gerim gerurim means chased away converts, meaning because the nesivim were not part of mainstream Klal Yisrael. Amru, ein lecha uma sheru'uya leidabek ga kazu. There is no other nation who is worthy of clinging to like the Jewish people. Uma b'nei melachim, if sons of kings are dealt with in such an exacting fashion, kach b'nei hedyotos alachas kama v'kama. All the more so the sons of common people. Uma girim girurim. And the same way that mistreating girim girurim is dealt with so stringently, Kach Yisrael al achas kama v'kama. So we'll say, essentially what's happening over here is there was such a breach of proper conduct towards the Givonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that in order to go ahead and stave off Chilul Hashem, there had to be almost a dramatic display of national repudiation. Repudiation? Yeah, thank you. National repudiation of this terrible act. That's what's happening over here. And although, again, this idea of punishing children for the sins of the father, so that's not normally done, the idea of leaving the body hanging overnight, not, there had to be such a dramatic display that what was done to the Givonim was so against the nature and quality and fabric of our people that there had to be a dramatic statement made that this does not reflect who we are. I'm sorry? There must have been some recognition. There must have been some kind of statement that ultimately, it's possible. I don't, again, the Navi doesn't say it, so I don't know, but I have to imagine whatever the Melech had to do. And Mr. Wilson, you have to understand also, this act is so against the grain of our people to do these kinds of things. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded to rectify the Chilul Hashem. Kach Yisrael Achas Kamav Kam Miyad Nitosfu Al Yisrael Mea. We'll say immediately after this, as a result of this repudiation, and really the repudiation ultimately served as also a dramatic statement about who we are as a people. So there were 150,000 people that converted. Shneamar vahil Shlomo shivim elef no seisav. Al Shlomo Melech had 70,000 people who carried burdens by the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. Ushmonim elef chotzei bahar, and 80,000 people who worked in the quarry in the mountain. So the Gemara says that where does those 150,000 people come from? Those are 150,000 people that converted in the aftermath of what David HaMelech did. V'dilma Yisrael havu. Who says that those were converts? Maybe they were just regular Jews, right? Natural born Jews. To which the Gemara says, Lo sagadaitcha dichsiv ubnei Yisrael lo nasan Shlomo eved. No, because the Navi explicitly says that Shlomo HaMelech did not use any of the Jews for any of the real labor in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, whatever, things haven't changed, right? You know, he stopped at Home Depot, you know, whatever it is. So, right, so he did not go ahead and use any Jews for the labor. The Dilma Dugzar, so say, maybe they were day laborers, meaning, what it means is he didn't use them as laborers, meaning he didn't conscript them to work, he paid them for their work. To Vidilma Dugzar Ba'amo, Elam Ihacha, Vayispar Shlomo, Kala Anoshim Hagarim, Asher Baretz Yisrael, Vayimtsa Meyam V'chamishim Elef. So here over here, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk Rabosai from Divrei Hayamim, and it says that Shlomo Melech counted all the people, Hagirim Asher Baretz Yisrael. And who were all of the converts ultimately in Eretz Yisrael? Vayimtsa Mea V'chamishim Elef, Vayas Mem Shivim Elef, No Se Sevel, Shmonim Elef Chotzei Bar. So I'll say here you have the Pasuk there, I'm saying explicitly that the 150,000 laborers that worked in the Beis HaMikdash, or for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, or it's really for the Mitzvot Beis HaMikdash, ultimately were the 150,000 that converted during the days of his father David. So why do we have this whole sugya? Because remember how this all started. This all started because the Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amud Beis spoke about the fact that Nesinim may not marry into the General Assembly of Klal Yisrael. That's forever. There's no statute of limitations on that. So the point the Gemara is making is, why is there a prohibition on the Nesinim? The Gemara suggests now why? Because of this episode. Because David HaMelech was so disgusted by the request of the Nesinim, despite the fact that he was disgusted by the request, he was commanded by God to comply with that request. But he was so disgusted by their request, he said, people like this, even though, again, they're Jewish, they are already part of the fold of the Jewish people, David HaMelech decreed that they may not marry into the normative Kal Hashem. That was a Davidic decree. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'nesinim, David Gazar Aleihem, Moshe Gazar Aleihem. Already Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there was something about them that was not totally normally, as they say. And therefore, again, he decreed that they may not marry into Kal Hashem. Tichsiv, mechotei veitzecha, Ad Shoev Mimech, Rabbi saying Parshas Nitzavim, when David HaMelech says Atem Nitzavim Milkolchem, everybody's here today, and he singles out to the tree choppers and the water carriers. That's a reference to the Nesinim. So the Gemara says Moshe Gazra Lahudara. David Gazer the Kulei Dara. Moshe only decreed for his generation. David HaMelech's decree was forever. Vakati Yoshua Gazalei. But one second, it was Yoshua who was Gozer on the Nesinim. D'chsiv, Vayitim Yoshua b'yomahu chot ve'itzim v'shove ma'im le'idah. Well, the Mizbeach that Yoshua decreed that the Nesinim should be the tree choppers and should be the water carriers for the assembly and for the altar of God. For the altar of God, to which the Gemara answers, Yoshua gazar bezman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Yoshua decreed that whenever the Beis HaMikdash is standing, the Nesinim should not be permitted to go ahead and marry into the assembly of God. David gazar bezman shebeis hamikdash kayim. And David HaMelech decreed that they should not be able to marry in, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash, bimei Rebbe bikshu lahatir Nesinim. So interestingly enough, in the days of Rebbe, they wanted to permit the Nesinim to marry into the ranks of Klal Yisrael, because again, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Amar lahem Rebbe, so what happened? Rebbe said to them, Chalkinu natir, chelik mizbeach niyatir. So apparently Yoshua decreed that they be servants to Klal Yisrael and to the mizbeach, to the service of God. So Rebbe said, listen, we could release our part, but you can't release the chelik of the mizbeach. Upligid Rebbe Chiyah bar Abba, Dam Rebbe Chiyah bar Abba, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, chelik eidah li olam asr, chelik mizbeach bizan shebeis hamikdash kayim asr, ain beis hamikdash kayim sharen. But Rebbe Chilkiyah says a little bit, Rebbe Chiyah bar Abba is a little bit different. Name Rebbe Yochanan, he says that no, the chelik of the eidah, our portion, the fact that they are prohibited, that we decree that, that's forever. The chelik of the mizbeach, that's dependent on the existence of the beis hamikdash. So we'll say, what comes out is, bottom line, the Nesinim are Jews, they're converts, but they are not permitted to marry into the normal Kal Hashem. Why is that? So we'll say, here's what's fascinating about this, is Moshe, Yoshua, and David all saw apparently the profound character flaws within this people, and therefore again prohibited them from marrying into Kal Hashem. The only machlokas is what was the duration of each of their decrees, but one thing is clear, which is no matter what Moshe and Yoshua did, David HaMelech clearly decreed that for all eternity, from any time going forward, Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash, then the Nesinim not permitted to be married into the Kal Hashem because of the profound character flaws that they possessed. Says the Mishnah, it was pretty amazing. Amr Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua said the following, Shamati, I heard, Shasaris, someone who is a Saris, we'll say, so we are experts already in the Saris, any form, any time, anywhere, right? So the Saris, remember again, is the person who is sterile. I have heard that a Saris still does Chalitza, meaning if his brother's wife dies, the Chotzen le'ishto, and if he dies, then the Maisa would do Chalitza with his wife. V'hasaris, excuse me, so Shemati Shasaris Cholitz v'Chotzen le'ishto, V'asaret lo cholitz v'lo cholitz nishto. And I've also heard that a saris does not do chalitza, meaning if his brother's wife, if his brother dies, and that we don't do chalitza for his wife, ve'ein li lefarish. But I don't know how to say. So Yeshua is saying is, I have conflicting halachic statements, and I do not know how to reconcile them. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, ani afarish, I will explain it. Saris adam cholitz. If a person is sterile because of some type of accident, something that happened to him, that's called Sris Adam, then what? He does Chalitza, and we do Chalitza for his wife. Why? Because Rabosai, remember, if he's a Sris Adam, that means what? That means at the time that he got married, he was able to go ahead and have children. He had a shasa kosher. Sris Cham, however, again, Rabosai, Sris Cham, we remember, means what? That, first of all, if you look at Rashi, Sris Adam, Shinistaris La'achar Shinolad. He became sterile sometime after he was born. Sris Cham means somebody who was born this way. Lo choleitz v'lo choltzin l'ishto. So he doesn't do chalitza with his brother's wife, nor do he do chalitza with his wife. Why? We say chalitza mean yim chalitza. Mipnei shelo hoitzlo shasa kosher. Because he was never kosher. He was out because remember again, a sris, we either categorize as a ptsudaka or a kroshavcha, which means what? That he was never permitted to go ahead and marry in the first place, marry into Kal Hashem in the first place. So obviously, again, if he does marry, there's no Yibmor Chalitza with his wife. Furthermore, again, because he was a Sris Chama, there's obviously no obligation of Yibum with his brother's wife, because the Maisa is the only obligation of Yibum when there's the possibility for offspring. Rabbi Eliezer says lo, Omer lo, ki, excuse me, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer lo, ki elas rischama cholitz, v'cholzen li'ishto, mipnei sh'yesh lo refua. Rabbi Eliezer on the other hand says just the opposite. A srischama, someone ultimately who was born this way, then what? He does chalitza, and we do chalitza with his wife. Why? Because it's possible for him to be healed. Sh'yesh lo refua. We'll see what this means. Swiss adam, but if a person was injured, and as a result is sterile, lo cholitz v'lo cholitz nishtem b'bnei she'en lo refua. Interesting. Rabbi Eliezer is just the opposite. Hey, Rabbi Yoshua, gave testimony. Ben Magusa Shai B'Yerushalayim, Swiss Adam. So we'll say, Rabbi Yoshua gave testimony about a guy, his name was Ben Magusas. He lived in Yerushalayim, and he was a Swiss Adam. He was someone who it was known that he was injured, and therefore, because of his injury, became a Swiss. The Yibmu es Ishto. And they went ahead and what? And they did Yibam with his wife. And I will say, this is in accordance with who? L'kayim divrei Rabbi Akiva. To uphold the words, because remember, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that a Swiss Adam, since he had a Shas HaKosher, therefore we go ahead and we do Yibam with his wife. We do Yibam for his wife. And ultimately, again, and he does Yibam with his brother's wife, or Chalitza. The Kayim divrei Rabbi Akiva, Hasaris lo cholitz velo miyabim. The Saris does not do Chalitza and does not do Yibum. The Chin Eilunis, so we'll say again, we're going to define all of these cases. So now the Mishnah again says, Hasaris lo cholitz lo yabim. The Saris does not do Chalitza and does not do Yibum. The Chin Eilunis, lo choletzes velo misyavemes. So to an Eilunis, does not do Chalitza and does not do Yibum. Well, so we saw that already, right? Because again, the whole idea of Yibum is to go ahead and create offspring for the deceased brother. If the wife was an islandist, so the brother was never going to have children with her anyway. Therefore, there's no Chalitza, there's no meaning, there's nothing. Hasoris shechalas li'evimto. Similarly, again, if a soris did Chalitza with his Yivama, lo pasla, he does not invalidate her. So again, we'll see in the Gemara what this is referring to over here. So this, for example, well, it depends who you're asking. Either Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Akiva, this would be referring to a Swiss Chama. That if a Swiss Chama, I take that back. We will see in the Gemara what it's referring to. But if a Saris did Chalitza with his Yivama, lo pasla, since such an act is meaningless, therefore he has not rendered her a Chalutza. But if he has relations with her, pasla, then such a bia is a bias znus, and he passels her. Why? Mipneisha bi ilas nus. V'chein islandess, so to with an islandess, shecholtzula achin, lo paslua. So to an islandess, Rabbi Yosef, who we just said before, is not subject to the laws of Yibam and Chalitza. So again, if their brothers did chalitza with her, lo pasluha, they did not invalidate her for marrying a kohen because she's not considered to be a chalitza, she's just an amana. However, ba'aluha, if they had relations with her, pasluha, then she is psula. Why? Mipnei she'be'ilasa be'ilas znus. Ultimately, again, because bia with her is in fact a bias znus. So I'll say, what comes out over here from the Mishnah is the following, that l'maisa machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of the nature of the Sris. Rabbi Akiva says that Sris Adam, right, if a person became sterile because of an accident, some type of other means, so l'maisa, again, he has the ability to do chalitza, and we do chalitza for his wife. On the other hand, Sris Chama, there's no chalitza, and no chalitza with his wife. Rabbi Eliezer says just the opposite. Everyone agrees that with an islandess, there is no yibum, and there is no chalitza. Says the Gemara Michti, Shaminan l'Rabbi Akiva da'amar chayve lavin ki chayve krisus dami. So that's what the Gemara says over here. We learned that according to Rabbi Akiva, that if someone is prohibited by an Isser Lav, so an Isser Lav is no different than an Isser Kares according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara, we had this before, Bosai. So the Gemara says, Michtir, Shamil Rabbi Akiva, the Amr Chayve Lavin Ki Chayve Krisos Damu, the Chayve Krisos Lav B'nei Chalitza. So Bosai, remember, in Rabbi Akiva's world, he treats the Chayve Lavin just like Chayve Krisos, and just like there is no Chalitza, there's no Yibum, Li Yibum Chalitza, with Chayve Krisos, Lav B'nei Chalitza, B'nei Yibum Ninhu. So Bosai, listen to this. So therefore, the question is the following. In Rabbi Akiva's model, Rabbi Akiva mentioned that you could go ahead and you could do chalitza with a Swiss Adam. With a Swiss Adam, right? So let's play this out. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is married. Reuven dies. Leaves behind the widow, no children. He also leaves behind the surviving brother, Shimon. Shimon is a Swiss Adam. according to Rabbi Akiva, I said that wrong. I said it right. So that's one of the cases. So Shimon is a Swiss Adam. So what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva said that Lamaisa Shimon does chalitza slash yibum. So the Gemara says, well, how could he do that? After all, again, is Shimon permitted to marry the widow? No. Why? Why? Because he can't have children. He has a din of a krush shavcha or a patur daka, which is a lav. According to Rabbi Akiva, a lav is very much treated like chave krisis, which means what? You can't affect marriage. If you can't affect marriage, what does Rabbi Akiva mean that there is that he could do yibum, he could do chalitza? To which the Gemara said, "Well, say again. Let me say that a little bit clearer. Again, remember, Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah that there can be a situation of chalitza, and we assume wherever there's chalitza, there's also yibum. There can be a yibum chalitza situation in a case of a person who is a Sris Adam. So Reuven dies, leaves behind a widow. His brother Shimon is a Sris Adam. He became sterile sometime during his life." Rabbi Kiva seemed to say that could be a case of Yibum slash Chalitza. The Gemara asked Rabbi Kiva, I don't understand how you could say that. Rabbi Kiva, you're the one who takes a stringent stance and says that sometimes we treat Chayve Lavin just like Chayve Krisos. For Shimon, the surviving brother, to go ahead and do Yibum, that would be a lav. What's the lav? If you're sterile, Rabosa, you have the status of what? Either a Krushavcha or a Petsuadaka. Is a Petsuadaka or a Krushavcha allowed to marry a Jewish woman? Technically, yes, but they can't marry Kal Hashem. So we'll see again, they can't marry anyone. They can't marry. So how could he go ahead and do Yibum with such a situation like this? I'm Rabbi Ami Hakamai Askinu, what's the case here? Kegon Shenasa Achiv Giores. Oh, what's the case here? Where Reuven's wife, Rabbi Osei, was who? Was the Giores. Rabbi Akiva, Saralak Rabbi Osi Damar, Kal Gerim Lo Ikri Kal. And Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi holds what Rabbi Osei, that Gerim are not called Kal Yisrael. That when ultimately it says that a Petul Daka Kroshavcha cannot marry into Kal Yisrael, they can marry who? They can marry who? They can marry converts. So because of that, the specific case over here of where you could have a Sris Adam who does Yibam or Chalitza, that's only in a very specific situation where what? Where the brother, the now deceased brother, was married to a Giores Ihachi, if that's the case, Yabubi Nami Miyabim. So he should be able to do Yibam also. It also says, what meaning from the Mishnah makes it sound like what? That he can only go ahead and do Chalitza. But if that's the case, that Rabbi Kiva is setting it up over here, that's what? That Reuven, the deceased brother, was married to a Giores. And now, again, that's why, now when Reuven dies, his surviving brother Shimon, who happens to be a Sris Adam, could go ahead and do Yibum, could go ahead and do Chalitza, because again, a Krushavcha or a Petuadaka is permitted to marry a Giores. If that's the case, then what? If that's the case, it should be permitted to go ahead and do Yibum as well. To which the Gemara says, Inachinami, you're right, he can't do Yibum. Va'aydi de'am Rabbi Yoshua choleitz, Amar Nihun Ihun Nami Choletz. And the truth is, Rabbi Kiva actually meant he could do Yibum as well. The only reason he said Chalitza was because Rabbi Yoshua used the Lashon of Chalitza. Dekanami Diktani, we could see this even Mistaber in the Mishnah, because what does it say? Heyed Rabbi Yoshua ben Beseira aben Magusas, Shehayu B'Yushalayim, Sris Adam. Remember also the end of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yoshua ben Beseira said, he gave testimony about Ben Magusas, who was in Yerushalayim, who was what? Was a Sris Adam. The Yibmu es Ishto. They did Yibum with his wife. Rabbi Osei, Lekayim Divir Rabbi Akiva, to uphold the words of Rabbi Akiva, Shmamina. And indeed, see that this is correct. So Rabbi Osei, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lemaisa, in Shitas Rabbi Akiva, now again, this is a very specific case. Remember, this case only gets off the ground if what? If what? If the widow is a Giores, right? So if the widow is a Giores, and you hold like Rabbi Akiva does, that Kal Gerim, that when there's a prohibition of someone to marry into Kal Hashem, that does not include converts. Therefore, again, if you have this specific case where the deceased brother was married to a convert, and now again the surviving brother is a Siris Adam, that under those circumstances, indeed Rabbi Akiva would allow not just for a Chalitza, but actually what? Allah for Yibum as well. All right, well, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Yiratz Hashem with Massive Rabbah tomorrow. Shkoyach. We did. Yeah, I don't want to brag. It was pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I'm a Kabbalah Musser. I will do better tomorrow. I will do.